defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, we got some other breaking news stories to cover here, and we are going to go to some other clips with Trump and Powell. But let's handle some business first. By encouraging you to support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, where we have a lot of exciting things going on right now. We have the buy one, get one free blowout sale happening. Buy one, get one free methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free Sheila Jeet gummies. Buy one, get one free CMOS gummies. All of these things, buy one, get one free. Limited time while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. And remember, when you shop right now, you are entered in two different raffles. So the Ford F-250 Lariat raffle, I believe that will come to a conclusion at the end of this week. So when you shop, you'll get entered into that raffle. And then our next raffle is live, and that is the Jeep Gladiator Rubicon. And so you will also get entered into that raffle. So you get entered into two raffles right now when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com. Get your supplements, get your apparel, get your limited edition items like our daggers, knives, and silver collectible coins. That's all happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Don't forget to check out the VIP Club, thealexjonesstore.com/VIP, to learn more about that. We really appreciate our VIP members. It's that sustained membership that budgets us into the future where we hope to go. That's where we hope to go, long into the future with you. So continue to shop at thealexjonesstore.com. Let's do this, guys. Let's go to another clip here with Trump and Powell, the one you guys just brought to me. Go ahead and fire that.
As a real estate developer, what would you do with a project manager who would be over budget?
Generally speaking, what would I do? I'd fire him.
Do you think this issue, Mr. President, gives you cause to do that?
Well, I'm here just really with the chairman. He's showing us around, showing us the work. And so I don't want to get that. I don't want to be personal. I just would like to see it get finished. And in many ways, it's too bad it started. But it did start. And it's been under construction for a long time. It's going to be a real long time because it looks like it's got a long way to go.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, and they've said now they expect it to go till 2027. $3.1 billion project. Costs more than the most expensive football stadium. Nice. Really fine. Really fine work that they're doing over there in Washington, D.C., isn't it? Really good. Thank you for that. Guys, how long is that DeSantis clip that I sent you? So this happened at a DeSantis event. It's kind of becoming this phenomenon now where I guess people are going to start disrupting events over the Epstein files. Remember, the Bill Clinton is a rapist campaign. Kind of has similar vibes to it. So this happened at the DeSantis.
Get out of here. Get out of here. Get out of here. So we used to have closed circuit. So you would go.
Wow. Yeah, I wonder if that's going to become an issue when politicians start getting up and trying to do public events and somebody decides they're going to start screaming about the Epstein list or the clients or the sex trafficking or the pedophile island, or the pedophile express. Yeah. This thing ain't going away, folks. Not going away. All right, we have a big announcement from the desk of President Trump coming up on the other side of this break. We're handling real issues. This is the stuff. You want to get us off of Epstein? You want to start getting into the winning category again? This is how you do it. We'll have it on the other side.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
week.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think that this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. So it's a conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. He looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesstore.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalist in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
All-time greats, one of the best to ever get inside of the ring and entertain the world, Hulk Hogan, has passed today at the age of 71. An absolute legend, one of the greatest performers of all time, a great American, brought a new level of patriotism to the WWF in the 1980s. Extended his legendary status through the Attitude Era and passes today, leaving a legacy unlike any other, the great Hulk Hogan. And if you're like me or a little bit older, everybody's got their favorite Hulk Hogan moments, Hulk Hogan memories. Maybe for some younger people, it was just last year when he did this at the RNC in clip 5.
What happened last week when they took a shot at my hero? And they tried to kill the next president of the United States. Enough was enough. And I said, let Trumpomania run wild, brother. Let Trumpomania rule again. Let Trumpomania make America great again.
So you had the rapid response team for the president sharing pictures of President Trump and Hulk Hogan arm wrestling at the RNC. We had the Trump War Room sharing pictures of Donald Trump and Hulk Hogan back in the 80s when Trump was attending WWF events, hosting WWF events. A man that inspired an entire generation of Americans. There's really no other way to put it. Trump released this statement earlier today after the passing. We lost a great friend today. The Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, was MAGA all the way. Strong, tough, smart, but with the biggest heart. He gave an absolutely electric speech at the Republican National Convention. That was one of the highlights of the entire week. He entertained fans from all over the world, and the cultural impact he had was massive. To his wife, Sky, and family, we give our warmest and best wishes with love. Hulk Hogan will be greatly missed. Vince McMahon released this statement for the WWE today. The world lost a treasure today. Hulk Hogan was the greatest WWE superstar of all time. Someone who was loved and admired around the world. He was a trailblazer, the first performer who transitioned from being a wrestling star to a global phenomenon. His grit and unbridled thirst for success were unparalleled and made him the consummate performer. He gave everything he had to the audience, whom he appreciated, respected, and loved. He leaves us with one of his favorite expressions: train, take your vitamins, and say your prayers. Hulk Hogan passes at 71 years old. Do you guys have a favorite Hulk moment? I think mine is, and ironically enough, he didn't really win the match, but we all won after WrestleMania 6. Hulk versus the Ultimate Warrior. But it was the end of that match when they shook hands and hugged and everybody went wild. That was a really special moment. Similar thing happened. Hulk Hogan, The Rock, WrestleMania 18. Great match. Shook hands. Whole crowd went nuts. They just went crazy in the ring afterwards. Not too many did it like Hulk Hogan. Not too many could entertain. And so truly will be missed by many people, and his impact will not be forgotten. Okay. Now, this just came from the desk of the president. President Donald J. Trump takes action to end crime and disorder on America's streets. The Hill's headline: Donald Trump signed executive order to push cities to curb homeless sleeping on the streets. You know, I'm going to read from this. I'm going to read from this executive order here from the White House, the fact sheets. But, you know, they really did a number on us. And they made us out to be cold-hearted for what they would eventually call the funny farms, where you would institutionalize people that were malcontent, mentally ill, drug addicts, whatever. We all see them on the streets. I was out in Austin last night having dinner. It's just everywhere. I mean, just everywhere, folks. You walk. I finish eating dinner at the restaurant. We walk three blocks down the road to another place. And, you know, it's just, there's homeless everywhere. And you know, it kind of breaks your heart. But they did a number and they said, oh, you're inhumane for institutionalizing them. And they put out all these movies that was total propaganda, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, to make it look even worse. And it's like, oh, they're being tortured and they don't belong there. And it was like this whole propaganda effort to, no, put them out on the streets. That's the humane thing to do. No, that's not the humane thing to do. The humane thing to do is to try to help these people. But the common sense thing to do is to get them off the streets, whatever that means. So it looks like this is going to become an agenda for the White House now. So this is what they just put out: ending vagrancy and restoring order. Today, President Trump signed an executive order to restore order to American cities and remove vagrant individuals from our streets, redirecting federal resources towards programs that tackle substance abuse and returning to the acute necessity of civil commitment. The order directs the Attorney General to reverse judicial precedents and end consent decrees that limit state and local government's ability to commit individuals on the streets who are a risk to themselves or others. We all know what that is. We've all seen that. You live in a major metropolitan area, you know exactly what that is. The order requires the Attorney General to work with the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and Secretary of Transportation to prioritize grants for states and municipalities that enforce prohibitions on open illicit drug use, urban camping and loitering, and urban squatting, and track the location of sex offenders. You know, it's wild, man. You walk some parts of Austin, it's just overwhelmed. And I mean, the stench and the scenes and they start fires in the woods that cause damage. They burn down a famous landmark, a tower right on the riverfront down here. And I know it's not just Austin that has these problems, but I mean, it's bad. You've seen it. The order redirects funding to ensure that individuals camping on streets and causing public disorder and that are suffering from serious mental illness or addiction are moved into treatment centers, assisted outpatient treatment, or other facilities. The order ensures discretionary grants for substance use disorder prevention, treatment, and recovery do not fund drug injection sites or illicit drug use. So that's what they do in California. It's insane. And I believe that goes on in Oregon as well. The order stops sex offenders who receive homelessness assistance from being housed with children. Can you believe that would be going on? And allows programs to exclusively house women and children. Ensuring Americans feel safe in their own cities and towns. President Trump is taking a new approach focused on protecting public safety because surrendering our cities and citizens to disorder and fear is neither compassionate to the homeless nor to other citizens. You know, somebody ought to ask Gavin Newsom where all the money for the homeless projects went in California. Somebody ought to ask Gavin about that. Here's some of the scenes that you'll see in Austin. I mean, it's crazy, folks. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, you can't go downtown without seeing it, smelling it. And it's sad. It's sad. Continuing here. The number of individuals living on the streets in the United States on a single night during last year of the Biden administration was 274,000. It was the highest number ever recorded. The overwhelming majority of these individuals are addicted to drugs, have a mental health disorder, or both. Federal and state governments have spent tens of billions of dollars on failed programs that address homelessness but not its root causes, leaving other citizens vulnerable to public safety threats. Shifting these individuals into long-term institutional settings for humane treatment is the most proven way to restore public order. I also believe this is a bit of an economic issue, and I'm not trying to simplify this, but I mean, when you have a healthy economy and you have Main Street booming, you can get a job. And if you can get a job, you can have a sense of purpose. And if you can have a sense of purpose, you don't want to live in a hut down by the river. But I've gone inside of these facilities. I've filmed it multiple times. And some of them aren't mentally ill or drug abusers. They just are like, can't get a job, don't want to get a job. And so I just live out here. But it's insane what you see when you go into these things. Continuing on, making America safe again. President Trump is committed to ending homelessness across America. In 2023, President Trump said, we will use every tool, level, and authority to get the homeless off our streets. We want to take care of them, but they have to be off our streets. In March 2025, President Trump signed an executive order to beautify Washington, D.C., directing the National Park Service to clear all homeless encampments and graffiti on federal lands. In May 2025, President Trump signed an executive order establishing the National Center for Warrior Independence, a place where homeless veterans can go to receive the care, benefits, and services to which they are entitled. As part of First Lady Melania Trump's Be Best initiative, the Department of Housing and Urban Development announced a $1.8 million investment to prevent homelessness among young Americans aging out of the foster care system. Now, how you go about enforcing this is going to be interesting. Because you're not going to have the majority of these individuals that you're addressing here are not going to go willingly. I think that that's just a harsh reality of this. And I just look at an example here that we deal with. They had a program that was statewide, and they were kind of hush-hush about it because it's, you know, not very popular. But they built this facility in downtown Austin. They call it the Arch. And you can go there any time of day, any time of night, and you'll see about 100 homeless people. And you know, some of them, the real types that you just don't want to see, you don't want to be around. But they started, as a part of this initiative, busing homeless people from Houston, Dallas, and San Antonio into Austin with the hopes that they could have this facility, have a success story, expand it, and then kind of have this program to get homeless people off the streets. Well, it was a complete failure. It led to the homeless calamity that exists now in Austin. And the homeless don't even like to go to that center because it has rules like you can't do drugs. So what ends up happening now, I think it's like Fifth and Brazos maybe. And so they just sit out there all day, all night, and they do drugs and everything else. You might even catch them, bumping uglies. But they stay out there because for three meals a day, they can get in line and get a free meal, but then they don't have to stay at the facility, so they can still stay outside and do drugs and everything else. So it's been a complete disaster. So what are you going to do if you're part of this program and I go downtown and I say, all right, you can't be homeless anymore. We're taking you inside or we're taking you to the institution. What do you think is going to happen? And then lawyers are going to get involved. So I just wonder how they're going to be able to do this successfully. And I think it's great. It needs to be done. And you might have to, I don't know what you do. I don't know. What do you do about a vagrant homeless person that hasn't bathed in years, that doesn't want to go to a facility? And then you say, we're taking you, we're institutionalizing you, we're going to get you help, we're going to get you rehab. And they say no. So what do? Do you arrest them? Do you take them by force? So that's where you're going to kind of run into the problems here. And I mean, really, you could almost use Austin, and they might try to do the test in D.C. So they might do a test run on this in D.C., but you could really do a test run here in Austin because of how bad it is, and just see what goes on. And then I guess the official name, is this the official name of it, or is this a different one, guys? Ending crime. Oh, got you. So the executive order here, ending crime and disorder on America's streets. So it says here, it's kind of similar to the fact sheet. Endemic vagrancy, disorderly behavior, sudden confrontations, and violent attacks have made our cities unsafe. It talks about all the people, record high living homelessness. Talks about how they're addicted and have mental problems. Nearly two-thirds of America's homeless individuals report having regularly used hard drugs like methamphetamines, cocaine, or opioids in their lifetimes. An equally large share of homeless individuals reported suffering from mental health conditions. The federal government and the states have spent billions of dollars on failed programs that address homelessness but not its root causes. So it's virtually kind of repeating some of these things in the fact sheets. And I guess it gets into here how they plan to do this. It's one of those things that just hadn't been addressed for so long that now it's so bad. So it's like you kind of have to do it with a heavy hand. But, you know, then some of these quote-unquote vagrants, you know, they get a little ornery. They get a little ornery there, and they like to put up a fight. It's not exactly a fight that you want. So, definitely something long overdue. Now it becomes a matter of how you're going to be able to do this. President Trump also released this statement earlier today. I am pleased to announce that the Trump administration has reached a historic agreement with Columbia University. Columbia has agreed to pay a penalty of $200 million to the United States government for violating federal law, in addition to over $20 million to their Jewish employees who were unlawfully targeted and harassed. $20 million to the Jews. Have fun with that one. Colombia has also committed to ending their ridiculous DEI policies targeting whites. Will the whites get the money? Admitting students based off only on merit and protecting the civil liberties of their students on campus. Numerous other higher education institutions that have hurt so many and been so unfair and unjust and have wrongly spent federal money, much of it from our government, are upcoming. It's a great honor to have been involved, and I want to thank and congratulate Linda McMahon and all those who worked with us on this important deal. I also want to thank and commend Columbia University for agreeing to do what is right. I look forward to watching them have a great future in our country, maybe greater than ever before. Remember a couple months ago, there was a, I don't know, I forget where it came from, and the headline was, Columbia University doesn't do enough for the Jews. Well, is so you're going to cut them a $20 million check? Is that going to be enough? How many different ways does that get split, by the way? How many Jewish employees are there at Columbia University, do you think? $20 million. Congratulations, you just won the lottery. I guess that's literally the victim lottery. But to the whites or to the Asians that get discriminated against systemically, nothing for you. Shut up. That's crazy. That's wild. The victim lottery has just cashed in if you're a Jewish employee at Columbia University. All right. Can't make that up. By the way, Elon Musk says service will be restored soon, but Starlink is down worldwide. Elon Musk's satellite internet suffers worldwide blackout. Tens of thousands of people across the globe have been impacted by the Starlink outage, which has prevented users in multiple countries from accessing the internet. Musk said moments ago he anticipates that it will be back up in no time. I don't think, has Starlink ever had a problem like that before with a global internet outage? So, yeah, I don't think we've heard of that before. Hopefully not a sign of things to come. Also, the Ukraine front lines now without their communication tech there either. But I'm sure they will get that restored, as Musk is saying. All right, now, I want to maybe get to some of this geopolitical news, economic news, when we come back from this break. And I do want to open the phone lines as we're now halfway through the show. We'll start taking some calls as well. Folks, remember to shop at thealexjonesstore.com. We've got the buy one, get one free bombshell sale happening right now. While supplies last, buy one, get one free on the methylene blue tincture. Buy one, get one free on the Sheila G gummies. Buy one, get one free on the CMOS gummies. While supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you're already a fan of these health products, now is the time to load up on the buy one, get one free sale. Load up right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Support us. And hey, check out the VIP page. We really appreciate our VIPs. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and register. You can find out what's there. Benefits include but not limited to monthly membership credits, bonus entries into our raffles and giveaways, free shipping on all orders over $99, and so much more. Become a member at thealexjonesstore.com/VIP. I'll give out the phone number on the other side of this break.
Ladies and gentlemen, James O'Keefe was here in studio last week. He was on the last hour, and I forgot to give him methylene blue until the last 30 minutes, but he was going on Owen. So I asked him on air, take it now, I'm not going to say what it does, and tell us honestly what your response is. And it was, quite frankly, pretty amazing.
So the crew just reminded me that James O'Keefe has not tried methylene blue, or they asked me to ask him. He has it, doesn't know what it is, but he's so nice and trusting, he just took it. It's actually cyanide, James. No, seriously.
Trying to poison me.
I'm joking, you know, it's really good for you. It takes 30 minutes to hit. It's not a stimulant, but it creates mitochondrial function and skips the oxidative process two levels or three levels in the cells. Usually takes 30 minutes to hit. You're on Owen at 4. Just please, Owen, talk to Owen. Ask if it hit you, what you felt, and if you didn't, we're going to put it on air, and you'll be the only guest that hasn't. So slam the rest of your medicine.
You got it.
So you're asking what Lean Blue is. It is something RFK Jr. pushes. It's something I've known about for years. But we've got the best, and it is amazing what it does to your body.
All right, I'm looking forward to that.
Sometimes it is in 15 minutes. You got to let us know what you feel.
Wait, I've been drinking it for about 10 minutes, so we'll see.
You just started drinking about 2 minutes ago.
I finished the rest of it.
20 minutes later.
I just took it. I took a lot of it, and I would say it was the effect on me was light sensations. It was increased light perception. That's what happened to
you,
my
the
body.
Pixels of the world around you, of the simulation,
like enhanced a little bit? Enhancing my eyes when a light, and I woke away, just a bit of enhancement perception there.
But then after he talked about his eyesight getting clearer, I got reminded by the crew that I've had callers about this effect, and there's actually medical literature out there.
I've got glaucoma. My vision has been crap for the last 20 years.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's perfect now.
What?
Yeah.
How long have you been taking Methylene Blue?
5 days. After 3 days, perfect vision.
No kidding.
Depth perception's back. And, I don't have to hold my phone at my hip to read it.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that, man.
This stuff is crazy amazing, and the medical research shows that.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah! I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly, I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene Blue works for me.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff, so thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene Blue. Mel Gibson also praised Methylene Blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
But whatever you do, do your own research, talk to your physician, and then get the very best medical-grade Methylene Blue supplement out there at thealexjonesstore.com. We have a limited-time sale until next Tuesday, the 29th, where you get one bottle of Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com and get a second bottle free right now. The limited time offer at thealexjonesstore.com. Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Okay, halfway through the show, we're going to open up the phones now. Let's get the number up on the screen, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen. We've just gotten the first reports out of the Maxwell meeting. Now, the lawyer for Maxwell, representing her right now, is David Marcus, who was meeting with Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche. Marcus said this: Ms. Maxwell answered every single question. She never stopped. She never invoked a privilege. She never declined to answer. She answered all the questions truthfully, honestly, and to the best of her ability. And that's all the comment we're going to have today about the meeting. We don't want to comment about the substance of the meeting for obvious reasons, and we will go from there. So, not sure how much more we'll get out of that. I don't know if the DOJ or Todd Blanche himself intends to make any statements regarding this meeting. But this is all I'm seeing so far on that. If anything else comes from the meeting, as far as the news is concerned, we will bring that to you. So, in the meantime, though, phone lines are open, 877-789-2539. Okay. You know, speaking of AI, and maybe we get some calls on this, it can do some pretty amazing stuff. And I'd like to think that I've got a good eye of seeing an AI video that may look real and saying, no, that's fake, or an image that may look real and saying, no, that's fake. But it's starting to get to the point where you may have to be an expert to even tell. Now, this one you can probably tell, but somebody did a spoof here, a little comedy piece on George Floyd. And they can take an image and turn it into a motion picture. And man, let's say people that are naive or vulnerable to technical digital propaganda might not be able to tell the difference. So I'd say this is obviously AI, but could this fool somebody? Here's George Floyd in a new commercial in clip 4.
A few years ago, I couldn't breathe. But then I started taking this, Comply.
Okay.
Now you know I breathe just fine.
I just have to do this. We have some sort of a weird technical issue on the back end, folks. So if you've been watching the show and you've been noticing that the sound is off on our videos, I don't know. So I can't do it because the sound is off, so you can't even really look at it. So, okay, guys, let's just open up the phone lines. I'm just done with the clips for today. I just can't do it anymore. So until we get that figured out, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just really starting to piss me off. So let me read this other news here, and let's get the phone lines up on my screen here, please. Thank you. Representative Paul Gosar has just filed H.R. 4668 to end liability shield for vaccine manufacturers. You know there's going to be a lot of pushback from the pharmaceutical lobby on that. Thomas Massey, earlier today, I see some people are excited for real Donald Trump, at Donald Trump, to make recess appointments to fill out his staff now that Congress has recessed for August. Bad news, Speaker Johnson and John Thune plan to convene and adjourn every 4 or 5 days to block Trump from making those appointments. That should be interesting. Should that play out, as Thomas Massey is saying? And Massey, you can have your problems with Massey, whatever, but when Massey makes a prediction about how things are about to go in Congress, usually goes exactly how he predicts. Colonel Douglas McGregor, with this statement moments ago, Trump pledged to end costly military interventions lacking strategic benefit to the American people. Instead, his administration continued and expanded policies resembling those of the Biden administration, including proxy conflicts with Russia and a muted response to the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. And yes, they did just confirm more aid to Ukraine. So, just a couple of updates there. Let's go to the phone lines now. Where should we start? How about Lynn in Illinois? Lynn, you are on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I had a friend, and he was asked by Grizzly Smith to wrestle a young wrestler. And Randy told me, he says, I've never been so wrong. I wrestled him. I came back, and I said, well, I think he'll make it in wrestling, but I don't think he'll ever make any money. And it was Hulk Hogan.
Well, I guess they got that one wrong.
Yeah, you did.
I'd say Hulk Hogan probably made close, what do you think, guys? At least 50, maybe 100 million?
Yeah, I'd say.
Well, that's a cool story. To get to wrestle Hulk Hogan before he was Hulk Hogan. Did he go by Hulk Hogan at that time, or did he have a different name?
I don't think he did, you know. But he was young, just starting out. But, you know, Randy was a big guy. He was around when, Cowboy Bill Watts and all them were out there. And really before Jake the Snake. So, but I saw Randy, we were taking an EMT course, and Randy was big then. And the young firemen were saying, okay, show us something. So he got on the ground, and he stacked three of them up in a blink of an eye like Core would.
Well, you know, Hogan, one of the classic Hogan moments was when he did the, when he dropped Andre the Giant. Nobody had ever seen anybody lift up Andre the Giant before. He was, I think he got him maybe like 6 inches off the ground before he had to slam him. But that was one of the famous moments. I think Hogan was the first to pick up Andre the Giant, even if it was just 6 inches, and then do the body slam.
I
you know, and people look, obviously, you know, wrestling is stage and it's theater and it's entertainment. But I don't really like when people call it fake, because those guys are actually out there doing flips and jumping off of structures. And I mean, so, yeah, it's theater, it's entertainment. But I mean, no, those guys are really special athletes. The stuff that they do is actually extremely difficult. And sometimes they take bumps that are not pleasant. And in fact, sometimes they have really bad injuries from this stuff. So I don't really like it when people say that it's fake. No, they're really out there putting some pretty athletic moves on. But yeah, it's obviously for entertainment, and Hulk was one of the all-time greats. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Willie in California. Willie, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Elon. Elon was right. You know, could Tulsi be being used a little bit here? I just wonder. It's become clear Trump's named in the Epstein files, as he was briefed back in May by the DOJ. But I also might assume Trump probably told Musk the truth before the bromance breakup. But the flip-flopping by Bondi and Trump, coupled with the bizarre unsigned DOJ memo, just adds more chaos to this administration. And maybe Tulsi's now being used for damage control by being handed the old Russia story when just 2 months ago she wasn't even allowed to attend the Intel meeting. Are there any believers other than Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin that think a DOJ interview with Ghislaine Maxwell will provide any credible info they don't want exposed?
Well, look, here's you know, we can pontificate and theorize, but the truth is we have to just wait and see the results as far as the Maxwell interview or whatever comes of that. You know, the Tulsi Gabbard story I do think is interesting. It was very widely reported about how she was kind of put on the sidelines, kind of put on the bench for some of the foreign intelligence and policy meetings, and I think we all know why. There's people in there that don't trust her because she's not fully loyal to Israel, to put it in simple terms. And so we kind of saw some other stuff going on with when Trump was trying to do deals and going outside of Netanyahu's scope to negotiate with Hamas or the Houthis or Iran. And that angered Netanyahu because, you know, he wants to be in control of all of this stuff. So, yeah, there's been a lot of that going on. But to get to the direct issue of, okay, Gabbard is now coming out with the Russia files. You know, I'm seeing people debate about the legitimacy of all of this over legal issues like presidential immunity, over legal issues like statute of limitations. So this is all just legal debates that are ongoing. The real question is, as you said, are they really going to do something about this, or is it just a distraction? Do they really intend to criminally investigate or charge members of the Obama administration, or is it just red meat for the base to chew on while they try to get this Epstein thing under control? That's kind of how I see it. Because the timing of it, yeah, in politics, you always have to consider the timing. It's like, why do it now? Well, it's pretty obvious why you do it now. And people trust Tulsi Gabbard, so you send her out to do it, and she's the intelligence, you know, she's in charge of that division. So she'd be the one that's supposed to be quarterbacking it. But it's like, this is all old news. You know, this is all old news. There's nothing new here. And so you say, why do it now? Well, I think it's to distract. Will they end up doing anything? I wouldn't bet on it. That's going to be a time will tell thing. But here's the issue. And this is why the Epstein thing is just like, it's just like the biggest addition of pressure. It's like you're already in a pressure cooker. And then the Epstein thing was just like adding the most pressure to it. There was a stolen election in 2020. People need to be arrested. The Obama administration was illegally spying on Trump and his associates. People need to be arrested. They ran a fake Russian collusion hoax and they broke the law to do it. People need to be arrested. Okay, so that's what this comes down to. We have deep state criminals operating at the highest levels of our government, and they need to be arrested. And so the Epstein thing is just like, it's like another one of these issues where it's like, the big criminals never go to jail. The big guys, the big fish, the big DC crooks never go to jail. And so, now we're going to get the scalp. It's going to be Obama. It's going to be Brennan. It's going to be Clapper. And it's just, are you really going to do it? Are you really going to do that? I don't think Trump really wants to do it. And there's going to be so much backlash. There's going to be so much backlash. And I'm saying, yeah, just like the same reason why we want transparency with Epstein, same reason why you need to arrest the deep state. But if you're going to do it, there's all kinds of things. You either just have to say, justice be done, may the heavens fall, or you have to roll this thing out in such a perfect PR strategy, communication strategy, that whenever the backlash comes for exposing Obama's crimes, it's so clear, it's so open and shut for even the public to understand that if when you do see the backlash or the riots or whatever, the American people will say, that's not a justified response. So it's I don't think it matters because I don't think they're going to do it anyway. But those are the issues they're going to be facing. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Ghost Chaser in Texas. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, man, I've been calling in forever. I use a different name every time, but I just want to say this is the first time I actually agree with you. Let's get Trump to lower the interest rate so that we can have some more first-time home buyers, and so old farts like me can get out from under my 8% balloon note that goes up in December. Let's lower them interest rates and get some people in some houses. Yeah, let's get them off the street. Yeah. And let's see if that distracts from Epstein. No, it won't. But let's lower them interest rates. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like there's a bit of facetiousness in your tone here, which is fine. You say it's the first thing you've agreed with me on, but I can't really tell if you're serious or not. So, but you never agree with me, but you tune in every day.
I call in all the time. And all the time I get hung up on by the crew, you always say, oh, I wish that guy could have stayed on. You know, I love talking to the people who disagree with me and whatnot. I finally agree with you. Let's lower the friggin' interest rates, man.
Okay, so you are being serious.
Absolutely. I'm 100% serious. I'm 100% serious every time I call you. Every time I call you. And the crew is always hanging up on me because, you know, I say knowledge fight. The crew's like, oh, no, shit, Jones is going to be mad at me.
Oh, okay, you're that guy. Well, yeah, because you do the same thing every time.
But am I doing something different?
Well,
I am.
You're agreeing with me today, and that's great. But, yeah, I mean, you kind of have to anticipate when you call in under a fake name and under a fake reason why you're calling, and then you go and plug some show every time. It's like, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised that they hang up on you. But, hey, I'm glad you agree. So congratulations. I guess we all agree on one thing today. So that's good. All right. Well, thank you for the call. I don't know how you couldn't agree with me on everything. What? You don't agree with me on everything? Everybody should agree with me on everything all the time. Of course, I'm being facetious now. Let's go to Nick in New Jersey. Nick, you're on the air. Go ahead.
How you doing, bud?
I'm good, thank you.
Hey, so my question is, we want these files from a government we don't trust. And that's the thing that's driving me crazy. And it reminds me of Yuri Bezmenov when he talked about there'll be so much information that nobody will know which end is up. And whether it's JFK files, Martin Luther King files, Epstein files, they were just in the hands of the Biden regime for 4 years, the one that locked you up and did all the terrible things. So the Democrats call Trump a fascist. We call them, saying that they committed treason. But we still want files that were in these people's hands, both sides. And that's what I can't get my head around, is who believes anything that the government has to say in the first place.
Well, you're always going to have the trust issues. And obviously, if Epstein is what we believed he was, which was a CIA asset, an intelligence agency asset for probably multiple intelligence agencies, and engaging in some of the most corrupt deep state activities that we could ever know about, obviously it's in the government's interest to protect that from getting out. So, yeah, I guess the idea is that we trust Trump, or we trust the Trump administration more so than any other administration, and so we hope we get truth and transparency. But I guess now people even maybe don't feel that way about this administration anymore.
Well, I hear what you're saying, but I mean, if they're willing to put out a fake assessment about the Russia stuff, who's saying that they won't put fake stuff into the Epstein file? Because for so long, Bongino and Cash and the rest of them were so hot on this, so certain about it, then they get in there and actually read the file. Well, who's to say they didn't alter it before it got into their hands? And that's what frustrates me about all this is we know Epstein was doing bad stuff. We knew there was a bunch of people that, you know, are probably very high up. And I think you just hit the nail on the head. The people at the top of the deep state, the higher-ups, they never get what's coming. And I think that's part of the reason Trump got elected, a big reason, but it seems like that's just going to continue.
Well, look, when you talk about draining the swamp, you think about, yeah, we want people need to be arrested. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it is. So,
I mean, Democrats will do it, but we won't. I mean, people, they say, you know, higher ups never get it, but, you know, Trump did. He almost got killed.
Yeah.
And it's like the Democrats, when they have power, they use it, and we just get embarrassed.
And, of course, I feel that if we don't drain the swamp, then the swamp gets back into power, and it gets worse than ever. And it entrenches itself in ways that we can't even imagine. And so that's why it's so important to do this. And that's going to be the question. Where are the arrests? That's going to be the question. Where are the arrests? And I mean, you want to talk Russiagate, you want to talk Spygate. Dan Bongino wrote, I think, two books. I know he wrote one book. He might have written two books on that. So, it's the guy that literally wrote the book on these crimes. So it's like, you got it. Same thing with the Fauci case. You've got the guy that literally wrote the book on Fauci, RFK Jr. in there. So yeah, we want deep state arrests. We want these crooks arrested. They come after us, they're going to come after us again. So yeah, that's what we expect. But see, here's the problem is people just can't really seem to think logically when trying to handle all these different political bouncing balls. And so it seems complex, but it's really just basic logic. If they're going to say the Epstein files have been doctored by the Democrats in the 4 years of Biden, which, I mean, okay, that's perfectly feasible to believe that. Well, then why wouldn't they have done the same thing with the Russiagate files? If they're going to be doctoring the Epstein files, which, by the way, if you're going to accuse that's a crime. So let's see arrests. So let's see a criminal investigation, if that's what you're going to say. If you are saying that happened, then where is the criminal investigation? And if there's not a criminal investigation, then I have to assume you're lying. So that's my simple logic. But then I apply it elsewhere. If they're doctoring the Epstein files, then why wouldn't they have doctored the Obamagate files? This is just simple, basic logic here. But because it's like there's so much noise and so many moving parts and the Trump administration just keeps throwing these new things out there, the logical thought process kind of gets lost in translation, and it's just you just kind of nod your head. It's like, okay, yeah, I believe that, or no, I don't believe that. All right, let's go to Jay in Arkansas. You're on the air. Go ahead. Do we have Jay going once? Going twice? Sorry, Jay, we gave it a shot. Let's go to Andy in Missouri. Andy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, going good talking with you again. Calling from the great state of Missouri. I was watching you yesterday, and I was kind of with you. I didn't really want to hear anything that Trump had to say, and then you did that clip on him about what he was saying, and it seems to me that the wording that he used with that was very it was very different, because what I basically got from it is basically he's wanting all these different AI companies to basically share their source code with each other back and forth and create like a universal kernel platform for the AI, which now, since there's no state control over it now, then the government has total control over it with that Palantir and all the surveillance that they're planning on bringing in. And I was wondering if anybody else got that impression or if it was just me.
Well, I'm not exactly. You're saying it's a government power grab?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe they want to baseline the entire operating system for any type of AI to where it's the same standard, where they got their access and back doors into everything that they need to basically control us again.
You know, it's hard to interpret this stuff, and I guess really the ultimate interpretation is going to be actually seeing it, witnessing it whenever it's applied, whenever it's in practice. You know, my issue, government control or not, I mean, can the government even control AI? My issue is saying, how do we start deciding as a civilization what kind of boundaries or guidelines we're going to put on this technology? Or do we want to have a debate like Musk put up this picture, I think yesterday, he might have actually deleted it, is what I was told. I don't know if it's still up, but he puts up a picture, and Tesla just opened a restaurant in California, which looks pretty cool, and I think it's mostly automated. And they got robots making the food and serving the food. It's very popular, lines out the door. But it's like, what do we want? Did you want in 10 years, every restaurant you go to, you have a robot serving you? Do we want that? Would you prefer human serves you? Maybe not. Maybe some people do. Maybe some people don't. Do we want to have the option? So I just feel like we're racing into this stuff, and we're just not really addressing what it might look like in the future.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because that people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. Goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. right now the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals, KPM.com/gold, 720-605-3000. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.